Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's take a look back into the archives of Atlanta soccer history with Atlanta Soccer Flashback. Flashback. With Jason Longshore on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in to another edition of the Atlanta Soccer Flashback here at 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app, and the Off the Woodwork podcast. This is a place where we dive into the moments that shape the game that we love so much. Today, we're going to go back nearly 40 years to Mexico, the summer of 1986. It was a World Cup that gave us unforgettable legends, stunning controversy, some of the most iconic goals ever scored, and some just amazing stories that live on today. It is the tournament forever linked to Diego Maradona. It was Maradona's performances, especially in the semifinal win over Belgium for Argentina, that made me personally forever fall in love with this game, and it changed my life forever. There was more to this World Cup, though, than just one man. This was a World Cup born out of crisis. It was played in the shadow of politics, and it was remembered as a turning point for Argentina, for FIFA, even for the future of soccer in the United States. The 1986 World Cup almost didn't happen in Mexico. It wasn't supposed to happen in Mexico. It was supposed to happen in Colombia. They had originally been awarded the tournament back in the 70s, but they withdrew in 1982, saying that they simply couldn't afford the massive cost. That left FIFA scrambling. Two bids emerged, Mexico and the United States. The American bid was spearheaded not by the U.S. Soccer Federation, but by the fading North American Soccer League. Steve Ross, the Warner Communications mogul and owner of the New York Cosmos, he was the central figure. He promised FIFA massive NFL stadiums, global television, all the glamour that the Cosmos brand had carried in the 70s with Pelé, with Franz Beckenbauer, with Giorgio Quinalla. He promised all of that, but by 1982, the NASL was collapsing. Franchises were folding, including the Atlanta Chiefs at the end of the 1981 season. TV deals were drying up. They had had a deal with ABC that was gone at this stage. You had cable television and some local deals, and that was about it. The U.S. men's national team hadn't qualified for a World Cup since 1950. FIFA wasn't convinced by the glitz, the glamour, the promises from Steve Ross. Mexico, which had already hosted in 1970, they had the stadiums, they had the know-how, they had the heritage. So FIFA awarded the World Cup to Mexico, making them the first nation to host the tournament twice. But just 9 months before kickoff, tragedy struck. A devastating earthquake hit Mexico City in September of 1985, killing thousands of people. Questions swirled about whether the country could still pull off this huge tournament. FIFA and the Mexican government pressed forward. The World Cup would become a symbol of resilience. For the United States, losing out in 1986 was a heavy blow. It ultimately was one of the final major blows to the North American Soccer League that folded after the 1984 season. However, losing out on getting this World Cup planted a seed. Leaders realized that the World Cup could succeed in the United States if it was done the right way. The United States Soccer Federation and Werner Fricker saw an opportunity, and the lessons learned from letting the North American Soccer League take the leadership role in the bid in 1982, those lessons and some of the connections that were formed over time with the world's governing body, FIFA, they helped shape the successful bid for the World Cup in 1994 for the United States. It was awarded on July 4th, 1988. Let's go back to 1986 and Mexico. This World Cup had 24 teams, six groups of four. The top two and the best third place finishers would advance to a round of 16. Wide open tournament full of attacking play, 132 goals in all. There were debutants in the tournament like Canada, like Iraq, like Denmark. There were giants in the tournament like Brazil, like France, like West Germany. Of course, no United States. Another failed qualifying campaign meant watching from just over the Rio Grande. Costa Rica ended up putting the United States out, and Canada ended up taking advantage and taking the CONCACAF berth after Mexico was brought in as a host. U.S. officials kept a close eye on everything going on in Mexico, though, during this tournament. They visited. They were very present during the tournament. They learned what they thought they could replicate. They learned what they thought they could do a little bit differently. They paid very close attention to how Mexico organized this tournament, and those lessons would pay off down the road. The Mexican fans, they embraced this tournament. You had packed stadiums, soaring atmospheres. The Estadio Azteca in Mexico City once again became the cathedral of world football. And then, of course, there was Diego Maradona. He entered Mexico 86 at 25 years old. He was the captain of the Argentine national team, arguably the most talented player on the planet. He dictated every match that Argentina played in the group stage. He was the heartbeat, the playmaker, the one who made every single thing happen. The real drama, though, was to come once Argentina got to the knockout rounds. They weren't expected to, by the way. They were not a team seen as a favorite coming into the tournament. They were not even really fancied by their own media in Argentina. Many picked them to fail after winning in 1978 at home and then losing in the second round of group stage, being eliminated by Italy and by Brazil in the World Cup in 1982. Maradona with a red card in that tournament after the frustration that he suffered boiled over, especially the Italian defending. And teams were allowed to try to kick Diego Maradona out of that tournament. They mostly succeeded. He was a different player 4 years later. He was a player who had dealt with more adversity. He had made the move from Barcelona to Napoli in the Serie A. He was also really starting to understand his power. And you had all of this building to June 22nd, the World Cup quarterfinal at the Estadio Azteca, Argentina and England. Now, this wasn't just a football match. Just 4 years earlier, the two nations had fought the Falklands War, a 10-week conflict in the South Atlantic. More than 600 Argentines and 250 British soldiers lost their lives. The wounds were still very fresh. Maradona talked about it later. Once the team in 1982 got to Spain and were away from the very repressive government in Argentina at the time, and they saw how that war was being reported, it in many ways broke them emotionally, because they had been led to believe that they were winning the war, and they found out once they saw news footage from other countries that that was not the case. So when these two teams stepped onto the field, the tension was as much political as it was sporting. For the Argentines, it was a chance for symbolic revenge. for the English, it was about pride. It was about redemption. It was about trying to get to a final, trying to win another World Cup after winning at home in 1966. Into this cauldron stepped Diego Maradona. And two moments in this match epitomized everything that Diego Maradona was. First, the infamous moment. Ball is flicked into the attacking third. It ends up being cleared up into the air, but backwards by an English defender. Peter Shilton goes up for it. Diego Maradona rises with him. Maradona, as he's leaping, his left hand goes into the air, and he gets to the ball before Shilton with his left hand and punches the ball into the net. Later, he said, a little with the head of Maradona and a little with the hand of God. Now, he confessed to what happened later down the road, but he also talked about how the fact that this was England and also Argentine soccer culture, he confessed to what happened, but he sure didn't feel bad about it. The Buenos Aires media called it justice. Clarín declared, the cosmic kite of Villa Fiorito has lifted us above the English, above the war, above defeat. In England, the Daily Mirror said it was the hand of a cheat. Well, you can feel however you want to feel. I'm sure the English wish that there had been video assistant referees at the World Cup in 1986 with this one. But then, just a few moments later, came one of the most stunning moments we've ever seen on a field. Even more stunning than what we had seen just a few minutes before. 4 minutes after the hand of God, Maradona picked up the ball in his own half, and he went on a 60-yard slaloming run past five England players. The commentary tells the story. The BBC's Barry Davies said simply, you have to say that's magnificent. While the legendary Argentine radio man, Victor Hugo Morales, he lost his voice, he lost his mind screaming, Parisetto Cosmico, de que planeta viniste? Cosmic kite, what planet did you come from? Apologies for my Spanish. Argentina won 2-1. England came back after those two goals. They pulled one back, but they did not have enough to come back into it. Maradona admitted afterward, although we said before the game that football and politics had nothing to do with each other, we knew they had killed a lot of Argentine boys there, and this was revenge. One match, two goals, two sides of Maradona. The cunning street fighter who would take any advantage that was offered or not offered to him. And also just the sheer untouchable genius with the ball at his feet. And look, here's the thing. He wasn't done in this tournament. That game was enough for anybody, for a whole tournament of incredible moments. He wasn't done yet. Next up, Argentina made it to the semifinal after their win over England. They were set to face Belgium in the semifinal. Belgium had been a surprise in the tournament, led by Jan Koolemans, keeper Jean-Marie Pfaff. Maradona dismantled them in the second half. Belgium kept it close. It was scoreless at halftime. In the 51st minute, Maradona shimmied past two defenders and flicked the ball home with his left foot. It was a very short burst and just a stunning moment of genius. And it felt like no one expected him to be able to do what he did. But 10 minutes later, he scored an even better goal. It was almost a shorter version of the gol del siglo, the goal of the century that he scored against England. He picked up the ball around 40 yards from goal. And he kept getting through defenders and getting to his magical left foot. And he puts the ball home past Pfaff. And there's no way he should have been able to keep his balance. Like, I don't know how physically he was. But he did. And the iconic celebrations, the huge win for Argentina. They advanced to the final, winning 2-0. The Belgians, I mean, they bowed to it. Their manager said, what Maradona did today, I have never seen from another player. Two more goals. Two in the quarterfinal. two in the semifinal. And it sets up the final. Argentina and West Germany, back at the Estadio Azteca. More than 114,000 watching. Probably 414,000 say they were in the building that day. Maradona was man-marked. Man-marked by Lothar Matthäus. Lothar Matthäus was coming into his own as a great player in this tournament. He was essentially sacrificed from going forward to man-mark Diego Maradona, following him everywhere. And it was a foul from Matthäus that led to the first goal for Argentina. A free kick taken from out wide on the right after, honestly, kind of a needless foul on Maradona. And Jose Luis Brown headed it home 23 minutes in. Wasn't even a player that was expected to be in the tournament. Wasn't a player who was seen as somebody who was going to end up playing an important role in a World Cup final. Later on in the match, he ended up separating his shoulder. And one of the first things that I always think about when I think of this final, the first World Cup final I had a chance to watch live. After he separated his shoulder, there was no way you were going to be able to pull him off the field. And he ended up, or the trainer ended up, not sure exactly how they got it done, but they ripped a hole in his jersey. And he basically had a makeshift sling with his thumb inside the hole in his jersey to hold his shoulder somewhat in place. Just unbelievable toughness. You know, these are the kind of stories that I think when you think about this 1986 Argentina team, we always think about Maradona, and we should, because it's probably the last time we will see one player, although Lionel Messi gave him a run for his money in 2022. It's probably the last time that we will see one player truly dominate a tournament in the way that Maradona did. But there were so many other figures in this Argentine team, and Jose Luis Brown was absolutely one of those. Jorge Valdano was one of those. A great ball through. He doubled the lead in the 56th minute. It's 2-0 Argentina in the second half. It looked like they were in control. Germany never quit, though. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge pulled one back in the 74th, and you could tell that had an emotional impact on the Argentines. They looked rattled. They looked shaky. 7 minutes later, Rudi Völler equalized. In the 81st minute, it was 2-2, and Germany had all of the momentum, and it looked like it was going to fall apart and be a heartbreaking moment for Argentina. But who else? Even though he had not popped up on the score sheet yet, who else was going to make it happen but Diego Maradona? German swarming him in the middle third. He's in his own half, almost falling backwards, but he sees the pass before the ball gets to him. And that's what was so brilliant about Maradona. He scored amazing goals, but he was one of the best passers to ever play the game. He saw Jorge Burruchaga running through. He sees the ball coming to him, and it's almost like everything slows down for him. And he's like, okay, cool. And that magical left foot pops it into space. Burruchaga runs onto it, beats Toni Schumacher, scores Argentina 3, West Germany 2. Burruchaga later said, when Diego gave me that pass, it was as if he had put the ball in my pocket. It was that good. Argentina held on. They won their second World Cup. Diego Maradona completed one of the greatest tournaments by any player in history. 5 goals, 5 assists. Total domination. Carried a team that, yes, the rest of the squad was not at Maradona's level. I don't know if you can say that about Argentina in 2022 and Lionel Messi. I don't think you can say that about France in 2018. You can't say that about the Germans in 2014 or the Spanish in 2010. I don't think there is another tournament that had one player elevate a squad so much. I don't want to take away from the rest of the squad. I don't think that's fair. But I don't think there has been a tournament that has ever seen one player be the central fixture like this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Amazing scenes after the final whistle, with fans running onto the field. The Argentines had become adopted by the Mexican fans. Just recently, just this week, the man who was seen carrying Maradona on the field on his shoulders passed away. And he was a legend in Argentina. And he was a fan. He ran onto the field. The celebrations were like nothing the country had ever seen, even grander and bigger than in 1978. There's an amazing video, if you haven't seen it, of Diego on the field. I'm guessing this is one of the earliest cell phone calls from the Estadio Azteca back to Argentina, calling his mom. Just so wonderful. Nearly a million people poured into the streets of Buenos Aires. Now, a whole lot more did in 2022, but in 1986, this was a massive deal. Flags were waving. Songs filled the air. People climbed onto buses, statues, rooftops, chaos, joy, catharsis, all at once. You got to remember, too, and this is a big factor when it comes to this tournament. Argentina was only 3 years removed from a brutal dictatorship. The Falklands defeat had been a national humiliation. The economy, shambles. For many Argentines, this World Cup felt like rebirth. It felt like they could be proud to be Argentine again. Historian Pablo Alabarces, he later wrote, "The dictatorship had humiliated us, the war had humiliated us, but Maradona gave us dignity again." Maradona himself, he said, "I felt like I carried all of Argentina on my shoulders. When we came home and I saw the people crying, hugging, I realized we had given them happiness they had not felt in years." It wasn't just a tournament win. It wasn't just sporting triumph. In many ways, it was a national exorcism. Of course, there were plenty of other stories in the 1986 World Cup. I'm giving you a lot of this from my perspective, and also like how it's affected me and how I've studied it. The Argentine national team became my adopted second team It was the first team I had a chance to see and really truly fall in love with because I hadn't seen the United States national team play at this point. The first game that I remember really truly going out of my way to watch was the semifinal for Argentina against Belgium. I know I saw some of the legendary Brazil-France match in this tournament. I know I saw some of the other games. I mean, I'm looking at a poster on my wall right now that I was able to pick up. A Budweiser 1986 World Cup broadcast schedule poster. And I look at it and I try to figure out what games I remember watching before this. I don't remember the beginning of the tournament at all. I don't remember the first match day at all. Most of the games were on what is now Today NA. Well, Univision, to be clear. Today NA is the sports cable side of it. There were many games on ESPN. It looks like about 10 to 15. NBC had the opener, the first match day, Italy-Bulgaria. They had Brazil-Spain. I do not remember watching those. They had West Germany and Scotland. I remember Gordon Strachan trying to jump over the signboards, and he was too short, so he just put his leg on the wall. That was pretty funny. I think I remember that more from the highlight videos than from watching it live, though. The third match day, ESPN carried five different games. One of those, Canada and the USSR. They had the Bulgaria-Argentina game, which I did not see. They had Mexico-Iraq. They had Brazil and Northern Ireland and West Germany and Denmark. I think it was once it got to the final 16 that I really start to remember seeing some of the games. The final 16, the first round of games was on the Sunday. NBC had one of those. ESPN had one of each of the other match days. The quarterfinals were on Saturday and Sunday, and that's probably what I saw when I saw Brazil-France, because Argentina and England was one of those, and I do not remember watching that live. The semifinals were at 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Wednesday, June 25th, 1986. And the first one was France and West Germany. It wasn't really a great game. I've seen the highlights. I don't remember watching it live. The Argentina game was the later match. And I remember watching that one very clearly. I remember knowing it was coming on, and I remember saying, I want to watch this. And the final, I remember watching with my dad at home in Riverdale, Georgia, and my dad didn't know anything about soccer at this point. I'd played one season of soccer at this stage in my life. And I remember watching this game with my dad, and I'd fallen in love with Argentina, a place that I didn't even really have an understanding of where it was. And I had just fallen in love with the way that this little short curly-headed guy played. And I didn't know how to move like that or play like that. Or I definitely didn't have a left foot like that. I didn't have a left foot hardly at all. I'd only played one season of soccer, and I don't think I ever really found my left foot. But anyway, I digress. I just remember being so enthralled and ready for this final. It was a 1 o'clock kick Eastern time. So it was very hot in Mexico City. I'm sure the conditions were terrible. I remember watching the game and that roller coaster that it was for Argentina to score twice and then concede twice. And man, if that is seriously the second real soccer match that I ever saw, I was lucky. I mean, there's bad games in every tournament. There's bad finals in tournaments. For that to have been my first experience, I'm so incredibly lucky. And look, maybe because of the way that it was, seeing Maradona's brilliance in the semifinal, seeing all the highlights at that stage, you know, you'd start to see it as they'd start to hype these games up. You know, see it a little bit on SportsCenter, just a little bit, but enough. Like, man, this is what I want to do. I love this. And just to be on that roller coaster ride, I don't remember sports before that making me feel the way that that game did. You know, I was too young to remember Georgia winning the national championship in 1980. I don't really remember the Braves in 1982. I was 5 years old. I remember some New Year's Day bowl games for Georgia a little bit. I could barely stay up to watch it. The Hawks weren't very good at that time. The Falcons weren't all that good at that time. I'd never experienced drama in sports like that World Cup final in 1986. And it absolutely, completely, and utterly changed my life. And I have so much to be thankful for that it did. I'm just incredibly lucky that I found it because it wasn't easy to find at that time. I'm very happy that it's much easier to find. I'm very happy that I got to experience that again in 2022 in a completely and utterly different way, in a completely and utterly different setting, with a probably even more insane final, the greatest sporting event that I've ever watched. That one really was a roller coaster ride that nearly broke me, but it didn't. And it's why we keep coming back for more, isn't it? I think what I would actually love to do is to go back and watch some other games from this tournament, because I watched the highlight film, not the movie. The movie is great as well. The FIFA cinematic highlight of it is wonderful. They did a really, really good job with it. You can watch it on YouTube. I believe it's on FIFA Plus as well. Definitely watch that with Michael Caine narrating it. It's great. But I remember checking out a VHS cassette that was I believe it was dubbed. I don't think it was an original copy of just the basic highlights narrated. I do not remember who it was. I don't remember the name of the video. It was narrated by an Englishman. There were phrases in it that probably still work their way into my commentary today, because I watched that video probably too many times because I think I broke the tape. Like, I think I just literally wore the tape out, renting it so many times from the soccer store in Riverdale that Adrian Brooks owned. Yeah, it's an amazing tournament. I'd like to actually go back and watch some of the other games and dig deeper into it. Some of the other stories from the tournament, just if you haven't experienced it and you haven't seen the highlight reels. Brazil, that team was so good. Zico was, I think, a little banged up in the tournament, so he wasn't at his full best. He never consistently was at his full best. And I think, you know, in terms of sheer talent, he's one of the most talented players to ever play. But he struggled to stay fit all the time. Socrates was just amazing. A giant of a man playing in midfield with the grace of somebody that did not, like, the size and the grace did not match up. Careca, who I, you know, later saw with Napoli and Maradona. They were incredible. They fell to France on penalties in one of the all-time great games. The French, golden generation, led by Michel Platini, they couldn't quite get over the hump. West Germany knocked them off in back-to-back semifinals in 82 and in 86. Gary Lineker of England, he won the Golden Boot with 6 goals. Denmark, that was such an amazing Denmark team. Danish dynamite, they shocked everybody. First World Cup ever, they scored goals for fun in the group stage until Spain crushed them 5-1. And Mexico, as the host, the first goal, Negrete with the side volley, just an amazing goal. Hugo Sanchez, some of his best form. They got to the quarterfinals before losing to West Germany on penalties. Took West Germany to the wire. It was a tournament of flair. It was a tournament of drama. It was a tournament that is one of the best ever in World Cup history.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
86 cemented Mexico as one of football's great hosts. The Azteca, the only stadium to have staged two finals. Mexico will be the only country to have hosted three different World Cup tournaments when you get to next year in 2026. The Azteca, I think absolutely properly, will open the tournament. I love that. For Argentina, it elevated Diego Maradona to, I mean, you could say near mythical status. That's not accurate. It elevated him to mythical status. He literally became a deity for some. I mean, this is not your average, very good player. I think when we talk about this, if you haven't experienced soccer in this way, I don't know if you can relate to what Maradona was for Argentina, what Messi is for Argentina today, what Pelé was for Brazil. Other players in other countries have gotten into this realm, but it's past what Michael Jordan was to basketball fans in this country. It's past what any great baseball player has done in this country. I think because in this country you get all that passion, all that emotion, all that fervor split into different sports. In Argentina, it's soccer. In Brazil, it's soccer. In most countries in the world, it's soccer. So Maradona winning in 86, there's not a comparison for you. I don't have one. For FIFA, the tournament 1986, it was proof that the tournament could survive a crisis and still deliver total magic. But I think one of the real underrated elements of this tournament is the lessons that it gave to the United States. It was a turning point for soccer in this country, a tournament that they were not in. The bid in 1982 to get this tournament when Colombia couldn't host, led by Steve Ross, led by the North American Soccer League, it failed. FIFA saw that the league was struggling, the league was falling apart. It wasn't going to be in the position to do this tournament justice. They made the right decision. But the lessons were clear. FIFA and the game wanted and needed more than just glitz and glamour. They did want that. Don't get me wrong. But they needed more. They needed the Federation to step up. They needed a new league to come out of a future World Cup. They were very intrigued by the idea of the United States hosting a World Cup. They recognized that it wasn't ready to yet. By 1988, Werner Fricker and the U.S. Soccer Federation took charge. Really, immediately after the 1986 World Cup, they took charge. They promised grassroots development. They promised youth programs. They promised the launch of a new professional league. July 4th, 1988, soccer in the United States changed forever. FIFA awarded the 1994 World Cup to the United States. That, in turn, gave birth to Major League Soccer. That, in turn, brought Atlanta United to us in 2017. And that, in turn, continues to change all the cities, all the potential players, change lives everywhere. I'm thankful that the 1986 World Cup changed my life. And I'm very thankful that 2026 will, in person, change the lives of so many people in our city, in other cities. I cannot wait. I mean, in hindsight, the failure of not getting the 1986 World Cup, not qualifying, the success of this tournament, the drama, the games on U.S. television attracting so much attention. Diego Maradona was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That didn't happen in those days. All of that made what we have today possible. It made U.S. soccer's rebirth possible. So when we think of Mexico and 1986, we think of the hand of God. We think of the gol del siglo, the goal of the century. We think of Maradona's genius. You might think of Jorge Burruchaga's winner. You might think of Argentina reclaiming its pride. But we also remember this tournament as one born out of crisis. First, Colombia not being able to host it. Second, an earthquake that was absolutely devastating to Mexico City. And this was a tournament that is so influential in so many different places. From Argentina's catharsis to the U.S. Soccer Federation's rebirth, Mexico in 1986 wasn't just a tournament. It was a turning point. Definitely was for me. That's today's Atlanta Soccer Flashback. Thank you so much for listening. You can find all of our episodes here on the Off the Woodwork podcast, on 92.9 The Game's website, on the Odyssey app. Make sure you are subscribed to Off the Woodwork. We will have more of these as we go and we get ready for the World Cup coming in the summer of 2026. If you have any special requests you would like me to cover on a future edition of the Atlanta Soccer Flashback, send me a message. I'm at Longshoe on pretty much all your social media platforms. It's Jason Longshore on TikTok if you want to go there. But send me a message. Let me know. We're going to try to cover some of that. We're going to try to get into some of the magical games, magical players, magical moments. Also, some Atlanta soccer history along the way on the Atlanta Soccer Flashback. All of those things coming up very, very soon. Until next time, keep the history alive, and adios, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G.
more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.